Welcome back, everyone, to the conclusion, the epic conclusion to Xamarin Dev Days Live. Hundreds of people have been streaming us live on the interwebs.
I know my mom is on, logged on like six times.
Oh, so, you know,
I
mean, my mom
seriously,
is too.
Really excited
she's,
about that.
She's been blowing up my Twitter feed.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty excited.
She's all like, Seth and James, you're so cute. That's how my mom is.
Yeah, that's my mom's is the same, Brad.
So essentially, we're doing something special. First time. Ever.
First time.
We are doing a hands-on lab live.
Mm-hmm.
And you are my
experiment. I have not written production code in many years. I write a lot of demoware, ladies and gentlemen, just FYI. But the thing is, the goal is you're supposed to follow along. I have not done this before.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on.
There's no idea.
I don't know. And so I'm going to go through. I tried watching the stuff from before, but people kept like asking me stuff about other stuff. So I'm literally going this blind, and I might run into issues, and that's what we're here for. That's why we have 90 minutes.
And we're taking questions live. So I have on my beautiful rose gold Mac, I have a big screen that has all of your questions. So as you're asking questions, I'll be reading them, and we can interject. And Seth is kind of, this is one of his newer Xamarin Forms apps
that
he's been trying to get up and running, and we're going to build something live. So the first thing we want to do is zoom in on where people can grab this code, this beautiful pixelated URL that I put up first, which is github.com/Xamarin/devdayslabs. Now, this URL is going to give you all the slides that we presented today, all the demos that we presented today, and the hands-on lab, which is really important because you're going to be able to walk along at home, download this GitHub repo. Everything that you need is in this puppy right here, all right? Or this GitHub kitty, I should say, the OctoCat. Everything is here. That's really important. People had asked about slides. They're already available. We're also going to put them on the recordings of everything we're doing here. So go to github.com/Xamarin/devdayslabs.
And before you ask, because everyone's going to ask, is this going to be recorded and saved? Yes, it will. Our bad humor will live on forever.
Ever.
My dad jokes will be plastered on Channel 9 until the end of time.
Perfect. Yes. That's what I wanted.
That's right.
So here's what's cool. As I want you to kind of walk through this GitHub repo really quick, Seth. Let's zoom out of this machine.
Okay.
So let's pump up these fonts a little bit.
Boom.
So what's important is you have demos, slide decks. I try to name them as you will. Now check out Hands-On Lab.
Okay.
So Hands-On Lab is going to have a finished folder, which is kind of what we're aiming to get to, which has the solution. But we also have a start folder.
Okay. Right?
The start folder is where we're going to start. And we're going to try to get this code.
Okay.
So it's going to have all the projects. And kind of, I did like a boilerplate. Doing file new takes a little bit of time, but I did file new, added the NuGets we needed.
Okay.
Now scroll down a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Now, we are going to follow along. I'm going to kind of read back this directions.
Okay.
And people can follow along in this README at home. We are literally going to go through this README, and I'm going to describe to Seth what we're doing, and he's going to follow along, write some code. You're going to write some code. We're going to build an app. We're creating an app called Dev Day Speakers, which is going to go out to the interwebs, download speaker data, and display it in a list, and we're going to do some navigation to some details.
Okay.
So you can, and there's also code snippet here. You can copy and paste right from GitHub into Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio. And again, it doesn't matter if you're on Mac or PC. You're good to go. You're on a PC, so we're going to focus on Android and Windows development.
Should I just download the zip?
So this is what you want to do. Download the zip and put it in a short place, like maybe your desktop. When you extract it to the desktop.
Okay.
Just because, you know, Windows has that 300 and crazy
properties,
character thing.
Unblock.
Yep, unblock it.
Unblock it. I may have downloaded. Oh, I did download it before just to make sure.
Yep.
Let me delete that. So, oh, it's not letting me delete it. That's okay. I'll do something on my desktop. And I'll call it something that I can remember later on, right? Something really that's good name
perfect
for it. And then
perfect
I'll take
name
this and I'll move this over here.
Yes. So this is going to extract, and here's my recommendation. See what Seth is doing here. This is going to extract the entire Dev Days lab folder. Now go into that folder.
Okay.
Now grab that go into Hands-On Lab.
Okay.
Drag and drop the start folder to your desktop.
Boom.
That way it's a nice and short URL. We know where we're at right here. We're in the start.
Okay.
And now let's go ahead and open it up.
So I have it open. There's nothing here. Nothing up my short little sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go to Open Project. By the way, I did wear my James Montemagno inspired shirt today.
I appreciate that.
Just want to let you know.
I appreciate
that. I tried buttoning the top button,
top
but
shelf.
It just wouldn't do it. All right, so go
even,
to.
Even Henry here wore his little scarf.
Is that the name of the monkey, Henry?
This is Henry.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a world traveler.
Okay, let me get Dev Day Speakers.
So you're gonna, yeah, open up the solution. And again, I've installed the NuGets, but we haven't downloaded the NuGets. We haven't done anything yet at this point. So it should open up.
Okay, I'll give it a
come
second.
Come on, Visual Studio.
Oh, I just broke Visual Studio. It's restarting. So while this is happening, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So in the background, before I came, I wanted to make sure that the starter worked.
Yep.
And there were some stuffs that we did.
Yep.
Right? Like what, when I'm running like an emulator, by the way, I'm trying to get this open again. Mm-hmm. When I'm running like an emulator, is this like a VM that's running or what's the deal?
Yeah, so check this out. Hit Windows and mm-hmm. type in Android.
Android.
Now check this out. When you install Xamarin, click on Visual Studio Emulator for Android.
Okay.
So here at Microsoft, there's a lot of different Android emulators. And what we did is we created a Hyper-V enabled emulator.
Oh,
so
I
see. Think of
it
like the old Windows Phone emulators or Windows 10 phone mobile mm-hmm. emulators. They're running in Hyper-V. So if you have Hyper-V, you want these. Mm-hmm. I have Hyper-V turned off on my phone, so I use the Intel x86 virtualization Google emulators.
I see.
But both of them work really nice. And what you have open here behind it is the Hyper-V manager.
Okay.
So essentially think of it as a Hyper-V image, and we just went in and we spruced it up just to make sure it's compatible.
So effectively, this is like a virtual way of pushing everything I'm doing onto an actual physical virtual device.
Exactly.
Okay. And so, but I could plug in a device with USB and that would still work too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I got the project to open. I don't know cool. what happened.
So here the first thing you're going to see if you're in Visual Studio is that's going to say, hey, I want to connect to a Mac, but we're not going to worry about it, so we're just going to hit OK. But this will walk you through, if you have a Mac and have Xamarin installed, it'll walk you through that process. It's a three-part process of pairing.
And that's cool because I was wondering, because you do this magical thing where the little square comes up and mm-hmm. you see the iOS device that's somehow coming from some other Mac device. This right. is what does that.
That's what does that, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Exactly.
Here we go. Okay.
And this is where you would actually connect if you wanted to.
Ooh.
And it automatically finds Robert's Mac. So it uses Bonjour.
Oh,
to go.
I see.
Yeah. So it's just using the Apple Bonjour service, and mm-hmm. that's how devices are found.
And so if I have a device, I just add my Mac, and then I'm
yeah, exactly. And if you had a Mac here, it would automatically pop up, or you can add an IP manually. A lot of people also ask, by the way, do I have to own a Mac? I recommend a Mac Mini because they're pretty cheap.
Sure.
But there's other services. They're not Microsoft services, but they're totally fine to work with Xamarin, such as Mac in Cloud and Mac Stadium. Those are services where you rent a Mac, like renting a VM.
Oh, I see.
And you can rent a physical Mac hardware because Apple has strict regulations about where you can build and compile applications. So in this instance, it's okay. We're going to focus on Android and Windows 10.
So do the right thing, right? I mean, yeah. don't be yeah. doing weird things.
No.
We should stick to whatever.
Stick whatever Apple says. You don't have to worry about getting rejected from the apps or things
sure.
like that. So let's zoom in on the project structure. That's what
okay.
I like to always show off first.
Let's do that. Let me make this go away,
mm-hmm.
and then we have everything all happy.
Yeah.
Boom.
So what we have inside of here is we have a shared project that could have also been a portable class library.
Is that this here?
That's that little double diamond.
Okay, double diamond.
Double diamond.
Let's go in there to the double diamond.
Double diamond. I love it.
Okay.
Now, this is going to have all of our models, views, and view models inside
okay.
of here. So our models are going to be like our speaker data. It's all blank, just implementations. But I set up some boilerplate code. So you can drop those down. Yeah, go for it. Some services, views, and view models. Yeah.
Okay. And these. Now, that's interesting, right? Because traditionally, I thought that that the shared project would never have UI, but with Xamarin Forms that
there's Xamarin Forms you can, yeah.
Okay, okay.
And that's what we're gonna be doing today is using Xamarin Forms.
Okay.
So we have all of our normal Xamarin Forms set up, and I've added two pages, a speakers page and a details page, and a speakers view model. And that's mm-hmm. what we're gonna kinda use.
Okay.
But if we scroll down, we can see that we still have an Android, iOS, and a Windows 10 project.
Okay, okay.
Inside of there, because nothing is cross-compiled, right? We have our own compiler and optimizer and linker for all of those.
Okay.
That's important. Now, Xamarin Forms has already been there. So the first thing everyone wants to do is right-click on the solution.
Okay.
And you want to hit Restore Nugget Packages.
Here come the nuggets.
Here come the nuggets. Now, this will obviously be extremely fast if you've already have these nuggets installed. Visual Studio caches them around for a bit.
Okay.
Else, it'll download it from the internet really quick.
So the other question I have is I obviously had someone beforehand make sure that my setup was correct. What are some common things that people are going to run into?
Yep.
Because someone right now is like, why is it? What are some common things that they need to look that they run into?
Yeah, so a few common things that people run into is One, they don't have Xamarin installed, so it won't open. It'll say, "Hey, this thing isn't working." It'll be unloaded. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure you have Xamarin installed.
Okay.
And if you do File New, you'll see Android and iOS apps with Xamarin installed. Emulators for Android are always a problem. iOS is pretty straightforward because they're always installed on a Mac when you install Xamarin and Xcode. But Android emulators are always a pain in the butt. So we install a few for you, the Visual Studio Android emulators, and sometimes other tooling will install some Google ones.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes that's a pain. The Hyper-V ones are super nice, but sometimes it's using a virtual network card.
And that broke for me.
That broke for you. You just plugged into the internet?
No, what happened was I went to this thing called a virtual switch manager, mm-hmm. and then I added an external connection that hooked up to my USB Ethernet cord, and then I went over to the actual emulator, went to settings, and in settings I had to add a network adapter.
Oh, okay.
And you see that network adapter is connected to the external one that I set up. And so that's what happened. And then, because I was trying to run the demo to see if it would connect, and it wouldn't. And I didn't want us to sit here and troubleshoot that because that's boring. Yeah. But just FYI, if you run into these problems, that's how I fix this.
And we have really good kind of walkthroughs of how to use Android emulators and install the Google ones and things like that. But that's always what people run into. If you launch the Google ones and they're not the Intel x86 really fast ones, if you have Hyper-V turned off, then it takes like forever, minutes to load.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Hyper-V ones are really fast because they're powered by Hyper-V. So often I just say, you can buy an Android device too. You get a really cheap Moto E or Moto G, which are $50, something mm-hmm. like that. Or your Android phone, you plug it in, put it in developer mode, you tap a button 10 times, you're a developer. That's all it takes.
Oh, okay.
And you're good to go.
I have to figure that out because that would, like, there's nothing like, I mean, having the thing in your hand and then being, it feels a little more real to me, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like this way of doing it too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Cool. All right. Awesome. So now what we want to do is we're going to create an application that goes to the internet, gets a bunch of speakers from the internet. It's JSON.
Okay.
We're going to deserialize that. So the first thing we want to do is set up our speaker class.
Okay. So that would be under model?
Yeah, under model. So you're going to go into...
That's actually my nickname, too. Like, the producer calls me a model all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just...
Well, so you are, really. Really? Especially with the shirt.
It's actually my mom.
I mean...
Really. It's not her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what do I do here?
All right. So we have a few things. When you're going along at home, I'm going to put the little readme side-by-side Seth here.
Okay.
So I've set up the JSON, essentially. So when you go into Hands-On Lab...
Okay. Hands-On Lab.
Yep.
I clicked it.
There we go. Now, as we scroll down, we've already restored our NuGet packages. See how nice this is? Here's our model. Our model has some strings. So all strings, name, description, website. And just like that, boom, we have our model set up.
Okay. And this is just a regular class.
Nothing special.
Got it.
Now, you'll notice below, though, there's like, what is this version Azure-y thing?
Okay.
Now, there's some extra exercises we set up inside of the Dev Days lab. Where you can actually add an Azure backend to your application. You can add facial recognition into your application. So bonus project. So when Dev Days ends, it continues.
Sure.
Right? That's the thing. All right, perfect.
Okay.
So now what we want to do is we want to start with, this is super simple, right? If you've created a model before, we have a name, description, website, a title, an avatar.
Got it.
What we want to do is go into the view model. Essentially, let's write some code for our code behind.
Now, the view model in MVVM is the thing that goes between wherever we're getting the data and the actual view, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And think of it like this is, your user interface is going to have some labels, some buttons, some lists, and things like that on it. And you want a way to essentially communicate back and forth. And the first thing, Brandon went through this a little bit, and like you just did here, we implemented iNotify property changes. Let's pump up this font a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Maybe 120%?
Let's do it. 120. You're the boss. 120.
My favorite feature of 2015 too is that it'll continue on every tab too.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it does that. So iNotify property changes is the first thing you implement, and this is kind of the base of MVVM. It gives Xamarin Forms a hook, essentially an event to say, hey, we can trigger property change. Xamarin Forms will listen for those, and it'll update the user interface.
Got it.
So when you're typing something or you set a property, it will update automatically.
It's a way of being able to notify both ends that something's happened.
Exactly.
Okay.
But without having to strictly create a hard link, right? It's a soft link, if you will. So you could replace your user interface, you could delete your user interface, start new, and you just bind to these properties.
And then the other thing is that the question I have is, it looks like we're implementing the iNotify property changed, but sometimes there's like libraries we can use that do all this stuff for us, right? Like Prism or MVVM Lite or whatever, right?
Yeah, and often what I'll do is we only have one view model in this application, but I usually have a base view model, which I put all my common things. I usually have like a title, an icon, a is busy property.
Got it.
So I'll put all those things so I don't have to implement them once.
Right.
But I like to do this very verbose because I think if you start adding all these frameworks, like Xamarin Forms has MVVM built in, but if you start adding all these frameworks, it kind of hides how it works.
Right, it's better to know.
At least to begin with. All right, so what we have to do now is we create a void. So if you've done WPF, if you've done Silverlight, if you've done any of these MVVM frameworks, UWP, we need a way to trigger our property changed event. So we're going to implement a method here. This is in the README called property changed. And what we're going to do here is, this is really cool. This is my favorite part. We're going to do this one here. We want to use, we're in 2015, so we're going to use this fancy
thing. We're going to go full arrow, man.
Yeah. So we're just going to use an arrow, which is essentially expression body member. And we're going to say property changed, which is our event, question mark dot, which is a null check, invoke.
Boom.
Yep. And then we can pass down this as our actual sender.
And then new
property changed event args. And pass in the name. Now, do you know what this did, right?
Yes. This is awesome. So because it's just a one-line method, right, what happens is you don't want the extra curly braces. And so this arrow says this function is implemented like this.
Yep.
We're using the Elvis operator to see if anyone's attached to the event handler. And if it does, we're going to invoke it with this as the sender and this property change event arg. And I think this has the name of the property. So for example, for us, it might be description or name or ID. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, like I said, I went to school. It was online. I got a degree and I became a Jedi Master at the same time.
At the same time.
It was an online school of computer science.
So I love it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
And this is really important because essentially Xamarin Forms is gonna subscribe to this event, property changed event,
Mm-hmm.
And we now can call our on property change for whatever we want, for anything that we're going to create. And then Xamarin Forms will listen. Now, that Elvis operator is super important because if no one subscribed and we're doing unit tests, it's going to be null.
Oh.
So that null check makes sure that it doesn't blow up,
right,
essentially. So let's use it. Now that we have our property change method,
all right,
we want to create an isBusy method. I always like to say isBusy.
On the view model, right?
On the view model.
Okay.
Yeah. So underneath it, we can create, first, we need to create a backing field. So we'll create a Boolean called busy, a private one first.
Oh, yes. I got to do that. Private, okay.
Private bool.
Private bool busy.
Lowercase busy. Well, however you want to do it.
Seth
has gone with the old school classic
Did I just go old school underscore private?
Just did a little underscore private
I'm a little old
there.
School. Okay.
It's all right.
Private bool busy. Okay. And then I'm going to do public property. Public, a bool, busy, and then we have a get, and then we have a return underscore old school code here, and then we also have a set that we do here, and then we're saying busy equals value. Mm-hmm. But my guess is that now we have to do something else, though, right?
Yeah, I like to call it is busy, by the way.
Oh,
but that's just me. Now, here's why I always do busy and is busy, because a lot of people will miss and put busy down here and capitalize and you get a Stack Overflow.
Got it.
So yeah, so is busy. I like to be very like, it's a Boolean, is this, is that, is this, right?
Yeah, because I forget all the time. I'm like, wait, what does false mean? Okay,
You never know. What is a Boolean? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
So we've set it, but when we set it, Xamarin Forms need to know. So we can call our method. Boom.
Oh, I see. And this, this color member name will automatically fill that stuff in.
Exactly.
That's magical.
Yep.
I didn't know that. That's actually cool.
So now what you could do is, so this on property change, we could implement this in one of three ways. We could do a hard-coded string. So we could say is busy in quotes.
Okay.
We could do name of is busy, which also works. Or since we implemented color member name, we don't have to worry about it and we just say on property change.
Okay.
is super cool.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Now, if you want to say other things are going to blow up, and we want to property change other things, then you would put those strings or name ups in there.
Oh, I see. So for example, like if you have two dependent, like if you have miles and then time and then another miles per hour, you want to make sure that they're all changed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Perfect. All right. So this is kind of nice. This is showing you the structure of a simple property that's in there.
Okay.
Now what we want to do is, again, we're going to go to the internet. So now we're scrolling down here. We've done that. Look at it. We're cranking through this.
This is amazing.
It is busy, right? Okay. It's as if I hand curated this entire readme.
Yeah, I know. It's like you wrote this. Yeah.
I wrote it.
Yeah.
I wrote it.
Oh, look at this. This has the old method here. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So it'll show you if you have older versions of Visual Studio there. There, we're good.
Okay.
Yep. Hit me. Go ahead. I mean, you can run this thing, right? Because you're here.
All right. So now, I see. So now, because we're going to have probably a list of speakers show up, yep, we need to have on the view model an observable collection of speakers.
Yes. Now, an observable collection is a list, but it's observable, mm-hmm, which means that it essentially has collection change notifications built in for us automatically.
So it has like on property notified kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Xamarin Forms can subscribe to that automatically. And what's important here is that it's these properties is busy, mm-hmm, and speakers, mm-hmm, are public.
Right.
Because they have to be public so Xamarin Forms can actually see them.
Got
that's
it.
What's important. Remember that. Now notice our underscore busy is private because that's our field, not Xamarin
right.
Forms.
Right.
You can only see public.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, so now we got that.
I want to create a constructor.
Oh,
so we
that's
can
right.
initialize it.
That's right. Yep. So we will, I always do them after my event because, again, I am old speaker view model. And yeah, then we're going to say speakers equals new. Kapow!
Kapow, boom, done.
Bun.
So that way it's initialized. It's not going to be null. We'll be good to go.
That way it's not throwing exceptions when you run the thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Awesome. All right, so now we can now create a method to actually get our speakers.
Okay.
So that's going to be a private, uh-huh, an async task, get speakers. And this is an asynchronous task because we're going off on a background task, a background thread, going to make HTTP request calls, mm-hmm, going to be pulling this in, et cetera,
okay,
into this application. And the first thing we want to do is check is busy. So that way if someone jams on your button, this is kind of I like to say that this hands-on lab is James' best approach and practices, mm-hmm, and how I've developed apps for the last 5 years. We have an awesome book by Charles Petzold, mm-hmm, about building apps with Xamarin Forms.
Really cool.
He's amazing.
Like I got the first one when it was like the first time printed. It was at the second Xamarin Evolve that he did it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super great. So that's a free book you can find on the developer portal. But what we did here is we started to use our isBusy immediately, because if isBusy is true and someone's jamming on the button,
we don't want to call.
We don't want to call it multiple times.
Okay.
So now what we can do is we can set up some scaffolding here.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is just do our try. Yeah. We don't even need to save out our exception because we're going to do fancy Visual Studio 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
So try isBusy equals true.
Yep. So the first thing we do no matter what is set it to true.
Okay.
Then we're going to add a catch in there and a finally.
Catch error, I said error, but it's exception.
Exception
error, and then finally, this is so that like, because this is the most dangerous part of the code because we don't know what could happen. We want to make sure we have everything covered.
Could be offline, right? Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Exception, and then is busy equals false because we want to. And then what's cool is that if we have some UI element that's triggered by that, this will automatically notify. Okay.
Jackpot. Exactly.
Boom.
Perfect.
All right.
So now what we need to do is start actually implementing some stuff. So I've set up a little web server on mockable.io, mm-hmm, that allows you to go out and download this data. So we're going to use HTTP client here.
All right. And my guess is it's going to be in the...
catch, exactly.
Only when
something goes terribly wrong. Yeah.
I almost broke everything.
So what you can do is, you know, you want to, this very beautiful demo 440479 blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that's what I would have called
that's it. That's what I would have called it. I was on the free account. Mm-hmm. You can open that in a browser, and you can actually see the JSON that we're going to download, right?
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So you can open it, and it'll open it in probably
Visual Studio Code.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom.
My favorite JSON
of course.
Browser.
Here we go. So there it is. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. Perfect.
So you know it's real JSON. It's coming from the internet. And now what we need to do is this line of code, we've created a new HTTP client. It'll be cleaned up automatically. Some people debate if you should put it in a using statement. It's mm-hmm. up to you, whatever you want to do. Yep. It doesn't really matter on mobile. We await. We go off on a background task. We do this back, just like I did in the Bing search earlier in Dev Days Live. And we have JSON. So now we need to deserialize that puppy.
I see.
And convert it to items.
Got it.
For our speaker items. Because right now it's just a blob of JSON. And we can use our most popular friend, JSON.net, to do so.
Do we already add that thing?
Yeah, so drop down the Android references there.
Okay, reference.
Boom. Whole lot of references. See what I did there? What? All the nougats.
I see.
And NewtonSoft will be inside of there.
Okay.
It should be. We haven't built it yet, so don't worry about it being question mark.
There it is.
Boom.
If you've never met the dude that did this, he's like the most understated guy in the universe.
James Newton King.
Yeah, I asked him, hey, does anyone ever call you Jason? And he gave me the stink eye. I'm not going to lie. He gave me the stink eye. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Cool. So now what we want to do is this is going to return a list or an IEnumerable of speakers to us.
Okay.
So what I like to do is I like to say var items and then deserialize it, right? So JSON convert dot deserialize object.
Var.deserialize object.
Yep. And I don't use the async version. It's up to you back and forth. And what I do here is I do a list of speaker. So I tell it what it is, right? So it's a list of speaker. So lots of templating here. We're returning an IEnumerable or whatever. It's coming back.
And then we have our JSON goodness. Boom.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
So this is assuming now that we've made the web request, we've gone up and did it, we now have our items, and now all we need to do is add those to our speaker observable collection.
Ah.
So we can, first what we can do is clear out our speakers.
So speakers.clear.
Yep, that's gonna clear out everything. Xamarin Forms is gonna get notified that it's empty, and so you have nothing in our list, and now we can for each over each of those items.
Oh shoot, I used to have a other tool on here, but I did not put it on for each. Var s in items, right? Speaker dot add, and every time we add one of these puppies, it's going to notify that there's
an issue. Okay. Now this is actually pretty important because a lot of people ask me like, well, what if I'm downloading 10,000 items from the internet and I want to put them in a list? Am I going to get 10,000 notifications? And Xamarin Forms is going to try to load that 10,000 times? Well, one. Ask yourself, why are you downloading 10,000 items from the internet?
Oh, a good question.
Good question.
That's a me problem. You know what I'm saying? That's like me. Like, I shouldn't be doing that stuff, okay?
Yes, shouldn't be doing that. Uh-huh. Maybe think of using a service like Azure to do offline sync and background syncing. But this will actually trigger a notification for every time we add an item. But one of the downfalls of observable collection is that it doesn't handle adding large groups to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do a few things. You could create a new observable collection. In my source code, and on my GitHub, I've actually created something called an observable range collection.
Oh, I see.
Where I implement add range, replace range, and that'll clear it out automatically. So if you're like, oh man, this list view is loading a little slow, why is that? Well, it's probably because you're loading a few hundred items. Now inside
that's
of-
That's a you problem.
That's a you problem. Yeah. And that's an observable collection problem, really.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I like to say. It should be smart.
But I'm a programmer. It's someone else's fault, okay?
It is.
Come on.
So check out I have a NuGet library called MVVM Helpers. It's on my GitHub, and it works in any project. Xamarin Forms, non-Xamarin Forms, UWP, WPF, it doesn't matter, and I implement a bunch of stuff. All right, so we're basically good, but what happens if something goes wrong, Seth?
Well, we go to the exception area.
And you do nothing, right?
Yeah.
Like a good developer does.
You're just like, hey, we caught it, okay? Here, look, I'll throw it and make everyone mad.
There you go.
There you go. It's like, it's not even there.
Well, what we can use, actually, is something built into Xamarin Forms. On our main page, we can display an alert. Now,
I see.
This is kind of demo code, so we're just going to kind of attach and say that, hey, we're always in an app if something goes wrong here.
Okay.
But what we could do is we could actually say await, and we could say application, which is a static in Xamarin Forms, dot current.
Current.
Dot main page.
Main page.
And built into Xamarin Forms is a way to display a sheet of data or an alert to our user.
Ooh. Hey.
Yeah, so you can display an alert.
Okay, so display alert, and this is, I'm literally just going to do x.message here.
Yeah, you have a title and a message and a cancel button.
Error.
Yep.
Error. And then I'm going to do okay.
Okay. Yeah, boom. That'll pop up a display natively on each platform.
So you said something interesting, and I want to make sure, because you said it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
You said, okay, when I'm doing this, I'm assuming that blah. Is the reason why you're saying that because we're actually doing this in the middle, in the base one, and we can't, like if we have a different kind of an application on top, we can't assume that that exists there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there a way to test for that? I mean, how do I test that Who's using me? I mean,
exactly.
How do you test that?
So check it out. You could do this. You could do above that line. Mm-hmm. You could do if
application
dot current
??
Main page.
Uh-huh.
If any of that equals null.
Oh,
right?
Or if it doesn't, right?
Yes, because if your app's not running, the current application will be null or your main page will be null.
Right.
And then you could throw the EX here.
Oh, I see.
And then that way in your unit tests, you could actually go ahead and ensure that you are expecting an application to blow up. Now, ideally, you may probably write an interface and you may have like some messaging service built into it. But this is a pretty nice way, really easy.
That's where you get your architect to write a lot of useless code.
Exactly.
I mean, wait, useful. Useful. I said, did I say useless?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So we're basically good for our business logic of our application, but we need to do one more thing before we can write UI. Is we need a way. Remember, this method here is a private task.
Yeah, we need a way to execute it, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we're going to create a public command called getSpeakers command.
Okay, so I'll put that up here.
Yeah, go for it.
Public command. By the way, if you have questions, please get them in now.
Yep.
GetSpeakers command, and we're going to get set this. And this is a way of marshaling sort of events back and forth, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then we can actually, I usually just like to create them in the constructor,
okay.
Which is a nice, easy way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Xamarin Forms has a built-in I command implementation called command.
Okay.
People may be used to something like relay command or a few other things built into MVVM Lite. Any implementation of I command is what Xamarin Forms will listen to.
I see.
So we're going to essentially implement a new command, and there's two things that you can pass in. The first one essentially is we need to call our method. Here.
Okay.
Now we do have to use we have to do the async await type thing here just because command is expecting a method. And this is a way to get around it to say get speakers and that'll call it.
Okay.
Now we handle all of the exceptions, so we're good.
Okay.
Now notice here, zoom in on that puppy if you can. Boom. Do we saw the there we go. Awesome. So notice that there's an action to execute and a func of bool for can execute.
Because this makes it so that because goofball is going to be pushing the button over and over and over again, we want to be like, hey, slow your roll.
Exactly.
Okay, this is the slow your roll func bool.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what we want to do is we want to return a func.
Okay.
Which is like a little lambda, and we want to say, hey, you're only able to execute if you're not busy.
Boom.
Perfect.
Okay.
Right. So the opposite of is busy.
Okay.
Right there. It's a little bit weird syntax, but once you write a few of them, it doesn't look so weird.
No, but see, if I write code like this, people think I'm like really earning my money. You know what I'm saying? Like, what does that even mean?
It looks great.
I don't know, but it works.
So there's one more thing we need to do.
Okay.
Before we get to the UI, is that we did this func of is busy, but we need to actually tell Xamarin Forms when to reevaluate that func.
Okay.
So what we can do is back in our is busy setter, mm-hmm. underneath on property changed, we can say get speakers command dot change can execute. Boom. And that's just a method you call, and that will reevaluate your function.
I see. So hold on. So this maybe, hold on. I'm saying I see like in the programmer way where
yes.
Wait a minute. So what you're saying is that the speakers command is a command object. Change can execute, like what am I changing it to? Is it just like resetting it or?
It's gonna reevaluate your func.
Oh, I see, okay. And there's some state in that command object which says, am I there or not? And what's happening is every time we do the on property changed, does that go to the command or is this executed every time?
It'll execute this func in the command.
Oh, I see.
So after we set is busy to true, it'll say, hey, set it now, you can't execute anymore. When we set it to false, it can execute again.
Okay.
Because Xamarin Forms and other things don't know when to reevaluate. We have to tell it when to reevaluate.
Okay.
Right? Because just because is busy is set, Xamarin Forms is going to look for property changes of is busy. It doesn't know that the command is tied to is busy. Because this could be a really complex method, right? Okay. We just made it an opposite of a is busy.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, we're saying, hey, update can't execute, essentially.
Okay. Like
manually do it.
So this will execute the func in there, and then the state will be okay whether it can do it or not.
Jackpot.
Okay, got it.
Jackpot.
Okay.
So that's our business logic. Now, what's important here, and why I love starting here, was why I saw a lot of my demos in just C# .NET code. And that's what I like to say. Now, at this point, we could be using Xamarin Forms or not Xamarin Forms, right? We could just be using this and build out a native UI, mm-hmm. or in this instance, we are using Xamarin Forms. Look, you're refactoring this code. I love it.
I know. Sorry. It's just not, I agree. It's not in the right place, okay?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's got to be right there.
Yeah, it's got to be right there. Yeah. Okay.
So now we're kind of good for our user interface. We want to actually...
So you mean for our view model, right?
For our view model's done. Yep. Okay. We're done. We're done. Okay. Yep. Perfect.
And this is like the hard part.
This is basically the hard part.
Okay.
Learning the UI is learning like the elements that are there, learning a little bit about them,
sure.
et cetera, et cetera.
All right.
Cool. So now what we want to do is we're going to start with our speakers page.
And that would be under view, right?
View, yeah.
Okay.
I do M, V, V, M. See how they're all nice and
Man,
ordered
you're
there?
Just like you did it.
M.
But you can, you don't have to order them this way, right? Because there's some people like Jimmy Bogard that subscribe to put everything on a feature in one folder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, there would be a speakers folder, and then you'd have all in there. You can do that too, right?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Awesome. It's your day. It's
all
your
right,
day. There's no special naming or anything like that. Brandon, for instance, likes to put pages for his pages.
Oh, I see.
Right? Instead of a view.
Yeah.
But for me, I like to say, like, it's fun during a demo to say, look, it literally spells out MVVM.
Oh, it really does.
It really does. M. Well, services gets in the way.
Dang it, services.
Services.
I'll just take it out.
There
okay.
we go. Perfect.
MVV. Okay, got it.
Perfect.
Got it.
So we're going to open up this, and the first thing that we're going to notice is that we have an XMLNS namespace.
Uh-huh.
This is the Xamarin Form schema.
There you
That's
go.
There.
Okay.
We are developing against a XAML schema from 2009, which is a newer, nice up-to-date spec.
Okay.
The Xamarin Forms one is from 2014.
All right.
We have a class name of speakers page, which corresponds to our code behind, and we give it a title right here.
Speakers.
Speakers.
Okay, got it.
So now what we need to do is we're going to lay down a few controls. We're going to lay down a, a button that we can press.
Okay.
We're going to lay down a little activity indicator spinner.
Okay.
And we're going to put a list view.
Okay.
Now, you're not getting any IntelliSent, and that kind of stinks.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can fix that with James's magical approach.
Okay.
So let's try to build our Android application.
Oh, I thought I was going to punch the computer, because I've seen you do that before, but that's not what we're doing today.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Not when people are watching, because there might be children watching.
I don't want to rage punch it. Now, when you start to build your Android application, a few things are going to happen while we're waiting on this. Is at this point, it's going to try to download, make sure you have all the nuggets in case you forgot to download the nuggets ahead of time. Nuggets and the nuggets.
The nuggets.
It's going to try to pull those down.
Okay.
Now, it's going to make sure all the references are there. Now, the Android one will take a little bit longer to build. It may take a few minutes, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's doing behind the scenes is it is essentially going out.
Oh, it already did it.
And it done. It did it once. Perfect.
All right.
So it may have to take a few minutes. So if you see this little thing where it's going and it's building and it's building for a few minutes, don't worry. Continue on with the lab, the hands-on lab here, because what it's doing is it's going to Google and downloading the support packages. It only has to do it once. So you may have already done it on this machine.
I probably did.
So now let's try to close the XAML page and reopen it one more time. And let's see if we get the IntelliSense.
I gotta find somebody that will be able to make a sound effect. Like every time I close it, like the old Batman. That would be cool.
So let's see if we can add a stack layout in here.
Stack.
Nope, not gonna happen.
Layout.
That's good.
I'll just type it in.
Cool.
So I borked it, okay?
I done
something horrible.
So we can add a few properties here. And the first one we're going to add is spacing.
Uh-huh.
We're going to set it equal to 0. Because we don't want any spacing in between our elements. We don't want it to be stacked up.
I always control shift B. I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I always just do that.
Now, what's cool is that our XAML is being ahead of time compiled, too. So when you compile it, if you mistype something here, it'll let you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's okay. So if you spell spacing without an S and you're pacing around mm-hmm. with 0 paces, it'll tell you.
Or just like you have a silent Q in spacing, right? Because I thought there might be.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Now what we want to do is add a button in there. So that's the first item. I'm very upset that we don't have IntelliSense, and I'm sorry. It might just be a Visual Studio close and reopen thing. Who knows?
It was probably something I did, man.
Yeah, probably. I'm just
gosh.
Fresh installs.
Boom.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we did. We added a button. The text here is sync speakers, and the command has that very familiar binding of a syntax of binding get speakers command.
So how does it know, how does this view know that it's supposed to use this view model?
So there's some code behind for this puppy.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you drop down that little arrow, there's some code behind. And see what I've cleverly done here
for
you?
Oh, Sneaky.
There you go. Jumping ahead on us. I like it.
But, no, yeah, I just had a question. I'll go back.
No, this is good. That's a great question. And that's actually what people actually first ask about. It's like, hey, how do I connect these things together? Mm-hmm. Well, every page, every control has a thing called a binding context. So that's what I've done here is I've created a binding context. I save out our speaker's view model, and I set it right there.
I see. And all those other libraries are just magically doing some weird injection and pushing things everywhere. Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
This is the way you do it. This is like gluten-free, like free range.
Exactly.
Pure. MVM.
Yes.
Okay. No preservatives. No GMO. It's just like we're hand rolling it. This is like artisanal.
When I go to QFC in Wallingford, I walk upstairs to the gluten organic section.
This is artisanal. Yeah. The MVVM.
Okay. I only get a few items because it's a little pricey up there. Right. But you know,
sure.
Got to get that almond.
Yeah, I know. It's where it's at.
So right. Good. Lots of calcium.
Okay.
Okay. So now this is cool. This is called an activity indicator. And Seth, you're probably wondering what the heck is an activity
indicator?
That's
exactly what I was thinking. It's like you read my mind.
So an activity indicator is like a progress bar. And Brandon went over that some of the controls in Xamarin Forms are going to look familiar, and some are going to be a little bit different because they're kind of mobilized. Stack layout is like a stack panel.
Sure.
It's a stack layout. We name all of our layouts with layout.
Mm-hmm.
An activity indicator is like a progress bar. They're kind of named different on each platform. So I went with activity indicator, which is the little spinner.
So is there like a place where I can go to see what all these things are?
Oh, yeah. Check this out. Go to developer.xamarin.com.
Developer.xamarin.com. Mm-hmm. Now?
Now, scroll down to the Xamarin Forms section, which is right there, and tap on Xamarin Forms.
Pow.
Now, what you can do here is you can go ahead and, on the left-hand side, notice all these sections. There's a control reference, which is probably what we want. We can go ahead and tap on that. And we can look at pages, layouts, views, and cells. Will show you what
this
everything
is so
does.
Helpful. Because the thing about it is, like, you say, hey, you should add a navigation page. I'm like, what the heck does that even look like? Well, it looks like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
And it's cool too. Go to the views section on the left-hand side, right?
Okay, views here.
Yeah. And just scroll down. Like, check it out. There is what every single one is on each platform.
Wow, this is amazing. Well, I just borked it. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Oh, I see.
Now you can see what an activity indicator is.
All right. So
you can see what a button looks like, right?
There you go.
In each of them.
And you can literally click. And it goes to like using it.
Yeah.
Okay.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I know, right? Yep. Jeez. All right. So that's awesome.
Yep.
So the first thing I'm looking at this, I'm like, because right now I'm kind of flying blind, you know, I'm blindfolded and you're like telling me to push down or pull up and I'm flying everywhere, you know, but I want to know like what the buttons do too. Yep. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Now, check out what I did here.
Okay.
Notice that there's an is running and an is visible property here.
Okay.
This is my little James secret sauce in here. So is busy is obviously, like, is it actually rotating? Like on the screen, this little spinner, like when we go off on the background thread, when is busy is true, it's gonna go ahead and like spin up.
Spin, right.
But we don't want it to just sit there when we've already loaded the data.
Oh.
So I'll say, I'll also bind the same thing to is visible.
Delicious. Yes. The secret sauce is beautiful, sauce. Yeah.
Now you may be wondering, Seth, well, why don't you only set is visible? Right? Why do you have to set both?
Well, is it because when is running is taking like CPU, like, because you got to be more careful, right? With it's like you have this little device and we're not going to be like crunching data and stuff. So you got to be a little more clever about that.
Exactly. You don't want that sitting in the background that's all hidden that is literally just spinning and spinning and spinning and you don't know about it.
Okay.
Cool. So the next one, this is the big one.
Well, the big one. Here we go.
The big one.
Big one.
Now, this is why I like this hands-on lab, because everyone at home can be following along right now, copying, pasting code in, but it's the explanation of why are we adding this is what Dev Days Live is all about.
Okay.
So this is a list view, and it's like a list box, it's like a table view, it's like a list view. And
if you want to know what it is, you just go to the...
It's in the views.
Views, and then you go to...
They're alphabetized even.
Oh, geez, that's like the... There it is! I was literally on it. What the heck?
Yeah.
Okay, and so we're like making one of these puppies.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Pretty sweet. Yeah, and this is pretty complex because you have data templates, you have cells, you have a bunch of custom views that you can put in here. So what we're doing here is we're giving it an items source, and we're doing a binding here to speakers, which is our observable collection.
Mm-hmm.
What we're also doing is giving it an X name, which people may be familiar with, which essentially is a way of exposing it to our code behind. So we can register events separately if we want to.
Oh, I see. So I can do like a list view speakers dot on change plus equals. Exactly. But we really don't want to do that because isn't that pollute? Like our artisanal artisanal, you know, MVVM was no longer artisanal if we do that, right?
It's true. Yeah, we can not add it. We can go old school on it.
No, but I mean, I always wonder, like sometimes I'm like going with the pattern, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm just gonna sneak this event in there. No one's gonna know. No one will look at my code. Is that okay, or should I be more pure? If I'm not as pure, are things gonna happen bad in the future? Will you show up in my window? throw a rock through my window? I mean, anything like that?
Well, so it depends. It depends what you're doing. If you look at the Xamarin Evolve application, which we open source and I built, I like to sneak a little things. Sometimes you just got, I had 4 weeks to write that code in my spare time. It's a beautiful app. Sometimes you just got to ship. Ideally, in this instance, you could do other bindable properties. Like we could have a selected item and bind to that in our view model. So we'll get notifications whenever the selected item changes.
So you're saying make it work, then make it pretty.
Yeah, do whatever you want. Now, if you're going to do, what's nice is if you're doing like test-driven development, and you're writing your UI, your unit tests and UI tests first, you're not going to be doing this ever. You're literally going to assume that there is no separation. But I say, hey, sometimes it's okay.
It's okay.
Now, what the interesting part here is if you want to be, you'll notice in the Evolve app, what I do is I try to have clean separation. So I actually have my XAML UI in a separate library.
Oh.
Right? So that actually enforces me to use things like messaging center and navigation implementations on my own. Yeah, to do it.
Wow, it's like putting blinders on to make sure you don't look around.
Henry comes up and he's like, don't look.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna slap that puppy in there.
All right.
Yep.
And then this thing, which is, we already slapped that in. Did I? I didn't.
Not yet.
Jeez, it's like you knew. You knew.
It even says add item template.
Okay. So we go here, and then we're adding this to the stack layout. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now this is saying, this is the list view. We're going to bind to the observable speakers, but you need to tell me what each row looks like, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's what this puppy's for here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, you can do any custom view cell you possibly want. You can put really complex things inside of this, blah, blah, blah. But we decided to use a built-in image cell in here. So we have some ones like text cell and image cell and switch cells that are in here.
And that's these little gals over here,
that are cells, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And you can actually learn all about them. So we have some built-in optimized ones. So if you have a really simple cell, like obviously you may be doing like card views and like all this stuff and maps and images and crazy stuff. Like, do that. You can do whatever you want. And we have optimizations for the list view to even recycle and be really performant.
Got it.
But the nice thing here is we have a very nice image cell, which essentially is an image with two lines of text.
Got it.
And notice here that we're binding to the actual speaker, right? Name, title, avatar, not anything in review model.
I see. Because like this is saying, okay, for each of the speakers in the observable, I want the image cell, the data template image cell, to have the name, the title, and then this is the actual image that you're getting.
Exactly.
Got it.
Now that image is actually just a URL that points to a PNG or a JPEG. Xamarin Forms will automatically download, cache, and handle that for you automatically, just from a URL.
Okay.
Now you can go in and you can tell Xamarin Forms how long you want to keep that image. Maybe it's 365 days, maybe it's a week. By default, it's 1 day. So that way, if it's the same URL, it knows how to handle caching that URL. So if you're offline or whatever, it'll just serve it up for you.
That's delicious.
Yeah, it is super delicious.
All right.
Yep. Cool.
So we've done it. Now, what do we do now? Is it time to run it?
Almost.
Okay.
Now I'm telling you, like, here's all the stuff that I hid.
Yes.
So we've created our view model. We've created our page. Now, there's that code behind that we saw earlier for that speakers page.
Here, right?
And this is that little binding context, et cetera.
The artisanal MVVM.
The artisanal, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just so you know that I'm not hiding anything, that's how it's making the connection.
Okay.
Now, your application knows how to start up because there's a global app, like an abstraction of what an app is.
Okay.
And that's actually the app.cs.
And where does that live in the, here?
In the shared code.
It does?
Yeah, it lives in the shared code. And what we've done is we said, what is an app? Well, an app has a constructor that gets started up, and you get other events like start, sleep, and resume.
Oh, okay. And these you've actually abstracted it to such a degree that you're just making a common object model for an application that works for Android, iOS, and Windows.
Exactly.
Or UWP. Windows 10, sorry. Yeah.
Now, what's really cool is if you go into the Android project
and
drop it down a little bit, and if you go into the main activity.
Okay.
Now, I showed this when I did my demo, but it's also here. And this is essentially the startup code for the Android application. So what we're going to see is that I have a few layout files that I specify. And then see, I have load application, new app.
Which is just loading that,
loading that app.
That middle, that one. It's not middle. What's it called? The base.
The shared code.
The shared code.
Shared
that's
project.
That's the one.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it is inheriting here from a Forms application, app compat activity. So it uses Material Design. If you're using the Azure stuff, I initialize it there for you, which we have in the bonus class. And you can add any of your custom code that you may want here. So if I add images or different layouts, drawables, like our launch icon, for instance.
And these are like be different. They don't necessarily have to be different, but generally they're different per.
Yeah, and that's a good question too. Like a lot of people say, like, hey, can't I just put all my images in a shared area? Well, I'm like, you can, but iOS, Android, and Windows handle the different resolutions differently.
Sure.
You probably want different icons for each application. So it's best practice to do that. Now, if you have an image, like there's actually a thing called an image, a view, a control. And if you specify like Seth.png, it will say, hey, first, is it in my shared code? Like, is it my embedded resource? Oh, it's not. Okay, let me look in the Android, iOS, and Windows project for Seth.jpg.
I see.
And then it'll try to find the correct resolution.
Cool.
So now we can essentially run the app.
Was this something that I wrote, or is this something that you wrote? Or is, like, generally, when I do a blank Android project, is this going to be there?
Yeah. It's going to be there automatically. So if you do File, New Project, we won't create it, but I'll show you where this came from.
Oh, I did website because I'm an idiot.
Well, you sometimes need a website for your backend.
Are we live? Is this live?
This is live. This is happening.
Oh, this is happening right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So file new project.
And then cross-platform.
Cross-platform.
Boom. This is what I created. I created a blank Xamarin Forms XAML app. The one that you actually have highlighted, which is kind of funny.
Oh, hey,
that one right there.
This one.
That's it. That's what I created.
Pow, there you go.
That will create your iOS, Android, UWP, and your shared code. And it'll set up all the stuff that you need, so you don't have to write any additional code.
It's the granddaddy of them all.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So theoretically, now I should be able to run it.
Theoretically. This is the fun part that I did at every Dev Days, is I said, let me make sure that it works on my machine first, and then we'll try to run around and help everyone with their emulators.
So I just did a build.
Yep. And it built.
I'm going to hit play.
Yep.
Like, how do I know which one? Does this one have to match the one? Okay, requires the internet. Okay.
So inside of that debug bar, it'll show you any Google emulators or any Visual Studio emulators for Android.
That are
any,
running or that are just there?
That are there.
Okay. Okay.
And here in the Hyper-V one, it'll launch it. So if it's not running, it'll launch it and it'll spin it up.
Okay. So let me go to Hyper-V Manager while this is happening. So that's this thing right here.
Yep.
This installs whenever I do when I actually install Xamarin.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
okay.
Yep. And that little other application,
this
lets you download additional images that are there. So other types of Android devices.
Okay, so
if you're like, oh, I need a new marshmallow or a nougat or some other delicious treat from Google, I would like to test it.
Yeah. So last time I did this is probably a couple years ago, this took like 50 years to, like, I literally left and then came back after a trip and then it was still running.
Exactly.
Like, why is it so fast now?
It's Hyper-V. It's super virtualized. It's using the full power of your machine.
Oh.
This is essentially it's essentially an Intel i7 processor. It's like, boom.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so this speakers thing at the top is, you get that by virtue of it actually being a view, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this view had the title in there, and that's what's going to be put up there, right?
Exactly. And notice in the app.cs, I put it in a navigation page so we can do navigation.
Oh.
And that's what's giving it the title bar. Right there, navigation page.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And so you sort of encapsulated the whole thing. Got it.
And that's the root page. This is the starting point.
That's clever.
There's our beautiful button.
Should I push it?
Push it. We get that little spinner.
What?
Boom. Boom.
Hey, this is my first real application. How come I'm not in here?
I know. I need to add you. I need to go in there and then
add Seth. I just like, yep. Where are you, man?
I know. I'm not even in here.
You should put yourself in there, man.
I should. While we'll do this,
You should like literally be in here, buddy. Like, if anyone but you. Okay.
I know. I didn't want to just put my face in every single possible, you know.
You know you should, okay?
I should.
Yep. Okay. So every time I hit sync speakers, it's actually going to bring it down again, right?
Yep, exactly. Now it's going to be the same data that's on there, which is pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can modify this data in real time.
Here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
I'm inside of the portal where I can have this thing.
And what
in
is
here.
This thing called? It's called mockable.io?
Mockable.io.
It's handy.
It's actually pretty slick.
Mockable.
Not going to lie.
.io.
Yep.
Free shout out. I'm just saying.
Free shout out.
Shout out. Okay.
And it's a free service. That's why it has that long URL that's in there. But it's there. I'm going to go ahead and add myself in here because you apparently want me to prove
Yes, I want
live.
You to be in there, okay. And I want to make sure that this is not some funny demo, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to add myself in here.
Okay. Things are going to explode.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
You asked for it.
I did ask for it. But and the other thing is it looks really nice.
Yeah, it's out of the box. Like, that's what the experience that you get. And while I do this, how about you run the UWP version of it? Set that as your startup and try to run it.
Should I stop it and then do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, go for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yep.
So let me do this. So set a startup project and then hit play. Just do local machine?
I always like to do local machine. That way it's a UWP app, so you can move it around, right?
Smart, yeah. Yes.
Yep, exactly.
Jess and Didi.
Yep. I'm gonna try to grab my
There's the Xbox. The original Xbox that you two.
Exactly.
There you go. So sync speakers. And there they is. Look at that.
Yep.
And it's cool because like the modality is a little bit like this feels Windows-y.
Yeah.
And well, this is closed down because I stopped it, but the other one feels more Android-y, right?
Because they're actually, you know, real native applications that are running on each platform. All right, so let me go in here. Let me go ahead and update my image.
Okay.
Update my avatar. That's done. I'm gonna leave a bunch of Matt's information in here, and that's okay.
So let me do this, and I'm going to do this in the universal one. So let's just start it up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's the original Xbox, and then I'll hit sync speakers while you're still typing. So just to see that everything's there. And what's cool is that this lets you sort of, like, is there a way as you're typing, and I know you're typing stuff, is there a way to like change the layout depending on the size of the actual screen, because they might be on a they might be on an iPad, for example, or a bigger Samsung device. I mean, how do you know? Is it?
It's a good question. So actually, if we jump back in the code, really quick, you could actually right here do something and type in a keyword for me, and you can do device dot. And inside of here, there's two important keywords: idiom and OS. So Xamarin Forms, this is the Xamarin Forms ism here, and you can say if it equals equals, right? So you could say if that equals target idiom dot desktop, tablet, or phone, and you could specify the user interface. You can do this in the XAML with platform kind of implementations. So you can say on Android, do this little thing. On tablet, do this little thing.
And then same with the platform stuff.
Yeah, I have a nice little blog post about optimizing for tablets, which is kind of optimizing for bigger screens like this too.
Sure.
But as you move that, if you launch the UWP application again, and you move it around and move it around, Xamarin Forms will automatically rescale everything for you.
Right.
Now I've added myself in here, and we're gonna see if it works.
All right, so I'm gonna rescale this first to show everyone that,
Yeah, see how the button automatically, it's there, and it's the full screen that we've set it up in. Boom, there's me.
Oh, happened. Boom.
Real.
Look at that. You're so happy when you're pixelated.
I'm so pixelated and happy.
There you
right
go.
There. In a circle.
Yes. Yeah. In a circle. Yep,
exactly.
Cool. All right. So that was just to give you a sense that this is not, it's really pulling it from the internet.
Yeah.
But it is a fake stub, but you would definitely eventually connect that to the internet or do whatever.
Exactly. Right? You connect it to Azure and you do this stuff.
Because essentially if you're doing a RESTful call, you're effectively doing a GET on a page just like you're doing right here anyways and getting JSON back.
It's just getting JSON back.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we had a few questions about performance and a few things like that.
Okay.
One thing I'll say, go back to our documentation. We've
yes,
been
sir.
Making great strides in performance and Xamarin Forms. When you go to the views, there again.
There you go.
And you look at that list view. A lot of applications are a lot of list views. So when you go to list view, you're going to notice that there is item view, list view. Tap on the list view documentation.
Boom.
So this right here gives you all of the different use cases, and there's tons of stuff on that left-hand side. cell appearance, list appearance, interactivity, and performance is super important.
Oh.
This is like really detailed. In Xamarin Forms, we have caching strategy, we have the ahead of time compilation of the XAML, we tell you how to optimize your cells, we have videos on it. Because that's a lot of things. People kind of get real excited, like, I'm gonna do all this data, I'm just gonna shove all these crazy cells and do 100 data bindings in a cell. Like, yeah, it's gonna slow down your app because that's really costly.
Sure.
So I can only do so much. So read this document. I also have a video.
Ooh.
Right here on Channel 9.
On Channel 9.
Have you heard of Channel 9?
I've heard of, there's some weird people that are there, yes.
Yeah, I have a whole Xamarin show on Xamarin Forms performance.
So Xamarin show.
Okay. What is the first one?
Pow! Channel 9.
Right there.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're already at, I do these really cool things. I do full episodes that are about a half an hour to 40 minutes
snack
long.
Pack.
Snack pack, baby.
Yeah, that's the awesome. Snack pack.
Snack packs are little 5 to 10 minute videos covering a specific topic.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend you check this out. Over the next few weeks, I have a few snack packs lined up that I'm super excited about, covering Android emulators, talking about workbooks. Check it out.
You should watch them like 18,000 times each.
Exactly.
Just saying.
There
All right.
Go. Cool.
So we've gotten something rolling, we've got something getting some data.
Bam, bam, bam.
Now, what do we want to do next?
Do some navigation.
We want to learn
about navigation.
Of course.
This is kind of important.
Sure.
So what we want to do here is I'm just going to do a little click handler here, okay? We're cheating.
But it's we want to get it done.
When you have 90 minutes, you only got so much time.
That's right.
So what we're going to do is we've exposed that list view to the code behind, and we're opening up the speakerspage.xamlcs, and we're adding a little click handler here.
So right here, am I in the right spot?
You're in the right spot.
Tab.
Boom, 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 done. Awesome.
Okay.
So now what you can do is open up the details.xaml page.
Yes, sir.
It's empty. All right.
Of course.
But open up the code behind for it.
Let's do it. Pow.
Boom. Now, I wrote a little bit of code here. You can now create a speakers page, and you're going to pass it a speaker.
Oh, yeah, of course, because the detail, when we click, I see what you're doing. You want to make it so that when we click on an item on the list, it'll go to a page with just that speaker.
Exactly.
Money.
So you can learn a little bit more about that speaker.
Money.
In there. Very master detail-y, right?
Right.
In there. And you would normally create a speaker view model or something like that. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, we're not changing any data. We're just displaying it.
We're just literally using the actual model version.
Exactly.
Model class. Why can't
model
I speak
class.
Today? What's
yeah.
going on?
Little model class.
Okay, let's
so
do
you're
it.
You're good. Yep. So now what you can do is you can implement this puppy.
Okay.
Right? We don't want to throw an exception. So the first thing I like to do is I always like to try to see if the selected item is null or not.
Oh, so you can copy I that see. Item. Yeah. Okay.
And this is going to be very upset with you because you've implemented and not copied code because you didn't put an async on that thing right above that void.
Oh, my goodness.
Now you're probably saying, async void, everything I've ever read is, oh, don't do that. But it's
except if you've watched the Lucian Wyshick stuff, mm-hmm. the top level ones, it's okay.
You got to do
it. But never in the middle. You never async void. That's like throwing things into a black hole.
Exactly. Okay. That's why we async tasked in the beginning. Exactly.
Okay.
So check what I'm doing here. We get the selected item changed event args back,
mm-hmm.
and that should be a speaker. So we just cast it as a speaker, check
sure.
against null.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then navigation.push async. Oh, is navigation like this root level object for the application?
Oh, yeah.
So every, I see.
Every page that has a navigation page has navigation.
Well, but the cool thing is that it looks like it's attached to any visual element.
Mm-hmm.
So can you say button.navigation? I mean, you don't want to do that, right?
You probably don't want to do that. But okay. Technically, the implementation at some point could actually do that, right?
Okay.
Yeah. But now, notice, go ahead and do navigation dot. Let's take a look at what's in there.
All right, let's see what we got up in here.
Yeah, you can just do it right there.
Navigation dot. It's because I'm uncoding everything.
Oh.
Hold on. So let me see here. All right. Welcome to another episode of Seth Typing, navigation dot.
There you go. So we can do a few things in here. Xamarin Forms knows about modal pages and non-modal pages.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to push async, pop async, push modal, pop modal. You can rearrange pages that are inside of there. It's pretty crazy.
So is this like, I'm feeling like this is like a stack thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be on page A, and you navigation push to page B,
mm-hmm.
you navigation push to page C,
mm-hmm.
and then when you hit back, you handle that event and just pop it.
Exactly. And we'll handle hardware button presses for you automatically. and software button presses. But if you have a login that you need to push, then you would push, or maybe you need to have a close button because you have a save button, you could just say pop async and it'll pop off the current page.
I see. And what if you have to do complex navigation? How do you clear the stack?
So you're able to essentially get access to the entire modal and navigation stack.
Oh.
And you can just pop off, you can rearrange things.
And it's like it's an IEnumerable.
Yeah, exactly. So you could for each through all
page.
Of them and
that
pop.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Okay, well there you go. Whoever's writing this is a genius.
We also have great documentation on navigation. Go figure. Literally everything that we're doing here, we have documentation for.
Why would you document stuff like that?
And samples and workbooks.
Okay. Oh, that workbooks things is legit. Yeah. I'm just saying that right now.
It's pretty great.
So we're pushing async, but I feel like once we do that, we have the bindings. We have the speaker. Mm-hmm. We have the speaker's page. Where is that? The detail page loaded up.
Yep.
Because we're getting it and we're setting the binding context, but it's going to be a blank page right now.
It's going to be a blank page.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can run it and see if you want to. It's up to you. It's your day.
Oh, it's my day. I'm learning this stuff. All right, so I hit play. The original Xbox here.
The original Xbox. Classic Xbox.
Classic Xbox. I hit sync this, and when I click this, it's going to go to something else that's empty.
Boom, it's empty.
Got it.
Yep.
So let me just try without looking.
Oh, my goodness.
Stack panel.
Stack layout.
Oh, layout, thank you, sir. What was it, cell padding or spacing?
Spacing.
Spacing equals zero.
Do you want any spacing in between your items?
Oh, maybe I do. I'll just put, you know what I do? Like every time I do this stuff, I'm like, I don't know what I should put. So I put something like ridiculous, like 200. I'm like, oh, that's what it does.
I like to set background.
Yeah, it's just in case, right? Yep. So stack layout, right? And then I have to, like I could just, can I just do an image?
Yeah, you can do an image.
Wait, well, you probably have some code there.
I do have some code. We have a question for, I'm going to say your name wrong. I'm just going to say LG.
Okay.
All right. He says he's getting some issue in the Android project about initialized component does not exist. I've seen this every once in a while. You just might need to close down Visual Studio, reopen it. Okay. You still should be able to deploy just fine. It could just be something weird in the bin and obj, whatever version of Xamarin. We did install the latest version of Xamarin before we did this. So we went into the little pop-up said you have the latest version. That's the best that I can say, LG, if you're seeing that initialized component error. If you only see that, still hit debug, it'll still deploy. It's just some weird IntelliSense thingy that's...
And it happened to me, because what I did is I wanted to make sure I could run this just because I didn't want to be weird and be like, hey, what's going on? And this like awkward silence. Mm-hmm. We could make awkward silence anyways.
Oh, yeah,
it would still be entertaining.
It'd still be entertaining.
What I'm saying is that I did not want to do that here. And so I ran into some minor issues, but I just updated everything. And then sometimes I had to restart my machine because I had that network error. And so it feels like there's just a little bunch of ticky-tack things. We should have like a forum maybe there is, like where you can see, like these are some of the issues I had because, I mean, they were pretty simple to fix.
Yeah. Also go to forums.xamarin.com. There's a button on there.
All
cool.
right, you guys.
Yeah.
All right, so it looks like we have a scroll view.
Yeah.
A stack layout, and then we have these things. I was going to try to do it myself, but I'm like, why is this?
Why? It's already there. Now, we put it in a scroll view because we have a really, really long description, and you want to be able to scroll that content.
Got it.
Makes sense, right?
Okay.
And we put padding and spacing. There's a little bit difference here. Padding is the space inside that everything is offset, and then spacing is the distance between each of those elements.
Got it. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And if it doesn't, then I can go back and look.
Yeah. Now we're going to add some buttons because we want to use some cool plugins.
Button time.
Yeah. Let's add some. Because maybe we want to do some text to speech or maybe
here.
We want to launch. Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Maybe we want to launch the website of the user,
of course.
For instance. That'd be kind of cool. So we have a avatar for the image, name, title, description. I set the purple to text color. You can set whatever you want. It's your day. I mean, you can find your favorite hex value and put it there. I don't actually know if fuchsia is a color, but let's keep it at purple.
I only know like five colors, let's be honest with each other. Somebody told me this word and I remembered it.
Fuchsia.
I think it's a color.
Fuchsia.
All right.
So here's what we're going to do is we have our user interface and you can run it and see what it
looks
like.
Let's make sure it works here.
Go for it.
Let's make sure it works here.
And then run it on Android after this so we can see the side-by-side comparison.
Got it. Yep. Okay, so sync speakers. Here we go. Hey. So let me go back to the solutions and I can probably go hit here and do debug, start new instance.
Does that work? That's amazing.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm
about to find out.
There we go.
Xamarin Devdays Live. We're doing it live. It's, and that's what's
this
important.
This is live. Oh, there it is.
Wow, cool.
Wow. Boom. Sync speakers. Oh, look at that. There's You're me. Like red here. Why are... How do we go back? Oh.
I hit the little back button up there.
Oh, that's what that's... Oh, and that's what's doing the popping.
Yep.
Wow. Why is the colors different?
Yeah. So essentially what Xamarin Forms will do out of the box is use the default implementations of what things are using. So you can manually set those colors if you want to, though.
I see. But this is like, since I didn't say, it's going to use whatever color is the nicest that we have seen in the in those sort
exactly.
of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I can actually go like this to make sure they're side by side here, and there you go. Hey, yo.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
So I'll hit stop here. Stop. Did it stop the other one?
I think so.
Yes, it did. Okay.
That's cool. Multi-process debugging.
There you go. All right.
So we want to do two things. We want to be able to speak back some text, maybe read the description of the speaker.
Okay.
And also open the website.
Okay.
So in our code behind here, notice that we did button speak and button website. So,
we're going to cheat. We're gonna just do it. We're just going to do it.
We're cheating.
Do I do it in the details page?
Do it.
Dot on click. Or is it click?
Click.
Click to plus sync equals. Side. Pow.
Pow.
Pow. Is it async?
That's it. No, you don't even need to be async.
Oh, nice. Okay, and then the other one was the website?
Yeah, button website.
Button website. Button.
Button.
No, not button.
Button.
Okay.
The button.
I forgot to do clicked. Plus equals kapow.
Kapow.
There you go.
Awesome.
All right.
So we've installed some plugins.
Okay.
If you were following along in Xamarin Dev Days Live earlier, essentially what plugins will do is it'll allow you to, we've abstracted a bunch of platform-specific APIs into a common API.
I see.
Right. Xamarin Forms has some of these built in, like that device.os,
sure.
device.idiom. They also have a device.openuri, so you can open a URL.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool.
Right.
And then also, we have some plugins. So we've installed a NuGet here. So if you go to browse your NuGets on your solution.
Let me browse my NuGets.
Yeah.
Where is it going to be?
It'll be in all of them.
Yeah. But it's the same ones on all of them?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay. Very good.
So if you go in and you can see down here, see that there is plugin.text-to-speech.
Boom.
Boom.
Log in here. There we are.
Plugin.text-to-speech is a plugin that allows us to do text-to-speech on iOS, Android, and Windows.
Oh.
So it'll speak back the text to us.
For those in Germany, das ist fantastisch.
You can even query the available languages on the device, and it will actually parse it back for you. It's really
awesome.
I wrote it. It's cool. So here's what we can do is
he just cash like threw it in and like I can make computers speak.
I make computers speak
just casually. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All
no right. big deal.
No,
no
biggie.
Big deal.
Here we go.
So here's what you can do.
Okay.
You can go in and now for the button speak, you can say cross text to speech.
Cross.
Like cross platform text
to
speech.
Oh, text to speech dot.
It's a singleton.
Current.
What do you think I called it?
Speak.
Speak. It's literally what it does.
Speak. And then there's a speaker that you looks like you've privated up it there. So speaker dot, I guess it there would be their name or something?
Let's do description.
Oh, so we can talk a little bit longer, right?
You can pass
and
on
then
it.
There's other things in there. We don't care, though, right?
We don't. Okay. That's it. One line of code. That's actually in our shared code, right? Because it's actually Xamarin Forms. So
yeah.
It's still in our shared code.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so sometimes it's okay to blur those lines of there. Now let's do the website though. The website's cool. So when we tap on it, let's check to see if the website starts with HTTP.
Okay.
Make sure they have something.
Speaker.website
right?
Starts with HTTP colon.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or I just do HTTP.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we're gonna do it. So is there some magic static method or something?
There is. So remember when we did device.os or device.idiom?
Oh, yeah.
Those are essentially where device-specific things. We can open a URL or URI. If
speaker dot website.
Mm-hmm. Now that's going to be a string. We do need to pass it a URI.
Oh, so it'd be a new URI then.
New URI.
New.
Yep.
URI.
Oh, that is actually one pull request I'm going to be sending down that you should be able to pass it a string because it's open source.
Wow.
Cool.
Okay.
This is pretty sweet.
Done.
Right? That's it.
Oh, well, I'm done.
You just did it. You did it.
All right, so
you
let me go.
This
let
is,
me,
you know.
Let me run them both. I'm going to debug both of them at the same time.
Go for it.
So debug start new instance on the Android, debug start new instance on the, oops. Wait. Oh, is it, did I, oh, I think I hit the wrong one. So let's see, on the Android.
There you go.
Debug, start new instance. And if I was doing the iOS one with the emulation, it would still open the other one. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Totally.
So the original Xbox, or the original Xbox here. So sync speakers. We'll go to James Montemagno. Is my computer going to speak?
Should be, yeah. Do you have volume on?
Okay, let's turn the volume up here. Okay, it's on the way up. Hello.
Should work.
I might have broke something, though. Let me make sure I'm...
Oh, you're plugged into HDMI.
Oh!
Right-click on your speaker.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Playback devices.
Pow.
Speakers.
Hey, set as default device.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Pow, okay.
Maybe.
Hello.
Oh, it's muted now.
Oh. Okay.
James is a principal program manager at Xamarin.
Hold on, let me mic you. Let me get you closer to the mic there.
James is a principal program manager at Xamarin.
Hold on, one more time. Who?
James is a principal program manager at Xamarin.
Thank you. What about Matthew? Tell me about him.
Matthew is a Xamarin MVP and certified Xamarin developer from Madison.
Where's he from? Does he have his own company?
He founded his company Codemill Technologies and started the Madison mobile.
If I'm having a lonely day, I could totally use my device
all day
and just push buttons. Hold on. He's still talking. He's talking.
And conferences throughout the Midwest.
Oh my goodness.
Matt Gardens,
does he like gardening?
Peppers,
bites, what else does he do?
And Lux Wisconsin micro brews and cheese.
Thank you, computer. That was beautiful. I should have picked a longer one. I mean,
should
I
have picked like a longer one. Yeah. That's why I gave you that nice short and sweet one.
Right. Okay.
Now what's cool is if you speak from Windows, it'll actually do the Windows specific. You know, voices.
Oh, I haven't tried this one. Hold on. Yeah. Well, let's see what the Windows one sounds like. Hold on. Here we go.
Hello.
It worked.
I might have too many things going at once.
Could be.
And anyways, I already did that joke, and it's not going to work a second time. I don't think it worked the first time.
Yeah.
So just FYI. All right. There you go. So we know it works here. Something's probably I messed up here.
Yeah, you should be able to click now, go to website too, and then you should be able to actually go to the website.
I didn't. So go to website.
Boom, it launches the browser, and it'll open up Matt's blog as long as you got internet, and you're good to go. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Look at that.
He writes, own artwork.
Why would you even need a phone anymore? Just literally carry the computer around that has a phone in it.
Exactly.
That's what I would do.
That's what I
pull
do.
It out.
That is what I do.
That's what we should do. Okay. All right. So that's awesome. So let me hit stop here.
Yep. Boom.
All right. So we did the text-to-speech, we did the open website. Oh, now we're getting into the beefy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to do this?
Do we have time to do this?
We can, instead of setting up our own Azure backend, let's just use the one that I set up already.
Okay.
So normally, if you're going to portal.azure.com, or even in Mobile Center, you could do this. This is really cool. You can create a new mobile app. It'll show you how to start this up right inside of here.
All right. Portal.azure.com. And you already have one of these.
I already have one, so we can point it at it. But this will show you how to upload a CSV file to actually create it. So I walk through resource groups, I walk through pricing, I walk through all this stuff automatically.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be super easy to do it.
I see.
Just a few lines of code. If you want to walk through it, we got 10 minutes. We got some new questions, so we're good. Crushing it so much.
Okay. So this is literally just putting a CSV file up, and I'm just getting it from somewhere else, right?
Exactly, but we're doing online-offline data sync.
What does that mean?
So that means essentially, once you download the data once, the next time it goes and gets it, it'll just return the cached data automatically. It's going to create a local database for you.
And is
automatically.
And I have to do like a mobile service to make that work?
Yeah, you'll go into the mobile app.
Mobile app.
Yep.
Is it Quick Start?
It is a Quick Start, yeah.
Quick start, hey yo, create.
Yep. Then you can name it and you can do anything you want.
The bomb diggity. And I'm going to create my own new service resource group. Yep. We're going to call it in honor of James Montemagno.
Group.
I'll say Montemagnus because you're the best. And then I'll create a new one here.
Yep.
And where do you put it? Just anywhere?
Anywhere you want. I like to put it in
West U.S.
West U.S.
West U.S. 2.
2, not 1.
No,
two,
of course.
Two's better. People use that one less.
Monty.
Obviously.
Magnus. Magnus, and I'm just gonna go, what should I do here? I should just...
Premium P2. No, you wanna do view all, this is tricky.
Okay, so view all.
Scroll to the bottom, free.
And that'll work?
Yeah, I mean, for demo purposes.
Oh, of course,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and now make sure you do pin to dashboard, that's super important, then hit create.
Okay, so I know we were gonna just use yours, but I said, hey, what the heck, let's just do this.
This will only take a few seconds.
So can I move this? How do I move? Look at this goodness! For those that are OCD and saw that this thing was just over there, it was making me upset.
Yeah.
So how do I hit done? Done.
How do I hit done? It's done.
done. Got it.
Let's go implement the code.
Okay.
Now, while it's spinning up, it's going to take a minute or two.
Okay, so code, let's go.
So essentially what we're going to do is go into our app, azureservice.cs in the services folder.
There it is.
I've done a bunch of boilerplate code, but now we need to enter our URL up here.
I think we called it...
The bomb diggity.
The bomb diggity. Did I spell it right?
I don't know. We're about to find out later. We can come back later.
Okay.
So here's what I'm doing is I've essentially set up some of the boilerplate Azure code, which is, I have this iMobile service sync table, which is a table of speakers, all right? So I specify where I want the database to live locally.
That's a lot of Elvis operators up in her.
You like that?
I love it.
So it says, hey, is the client null? Is the sync context null? Is it initialized? Else false.
Okay.
Boom, I love it.
That's awesome.
I love C-sharp so much.
Yeah, I know, it is such a good job. Yep. Thanks, Mads Torgerson and Anders Halsberg.
Love you guys.
I keep coming by every day and knocking on your door, and I know you're in the house. I know you're there, right? Because I see you shut the lights off and run off.
Yeah.
And I just like, just let me in.
Let me in. I want to come in.
Just let me in.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got this thing.
Yep.
Oh, it looks like we're using SQLite to store the stuff. Oh. Yep. Oh, this is clever. Mm-hmm.
So you define a table, which is going to be your schema.
Mm-hmm.
And then you initialize this online, offline data sync.
Okay.
And then you get the table back. And now you can do inserts, CRUD operations on it, anything you want.
And then when does the sync happen? Whenever it detects it's online, it'll just sync?
Well, so right now you would write that code. Right. We're going to write it here manually.
Right.
But usually I write background services to sync whenever I need.
Oh, it's the bomb diggity.
Oh, it's done.
Yeah, bomb diggity.
Bomb diggity. Yeah, copy that pipe, baby.
Boom. Yep. The bomb diggity, and we'll put that right up in her. Mm-hmm. So, boom.
Yeah.
Cool. I did not spell it. This is embarrassing. It's supposed to be an E right here.
What
are we going to do it? All right.
So here's what you're going to do. Now, you have the option of doing an ASP.NET backend or a non-ASP.NET backend. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going to use this easy tables that's in here.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and give it a second. It'll create, I think, a to-do item for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in essentially non-production mode, and we're going to use a SQLite backend. So we're not have a full SQL server or anything like that. We just have this backend.
Okay.
So hit add from CSV. And then go ahead and browse for a folder, and it's going to be in that hands-on lab folder that we downloaded from the internet.
So desktop here, start.
Not in that one.
Oh.
Yeah.
The one I named really good.
There we go. Hands-on lab, and then speaker.csv.
Pow.
Yep. And everything is a string, and just hit upload.
There we go.
Up, 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 up. Boom. Totally happened. Now you can click on the speaker, and you just put all of that data with some special data in there that I added, so you know it's coming from Azure, into there.
Oh, that's that Azure version deal thing, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make this bigger? I don't know if I know. Oh, there you go.
Boom.
I see. So there's the avatar, and then the last thing you put in there that was different was the Azure
version.
Where is that?
I think it's called version.
Oh, there it is. Version. Got it.
Boom.
Got it. Perfect.
So we need to write just about 5 or 6 lines of code.
Let's do
and
it.
And then we'll do Azure Sync. So scroll down a little bit here. And what we want to do here is get speakers. Right now we're just returning a blank list.
Uh-huh.
So we can create a few methods here. And we're going to first initialize, so make sure it's created.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call sync speakers, which we're going to implement next.
Okay.
And then we're going to use a little...
This initialize method is the one, let's see, F12. Okay, that's the one we did before.
Just to make sure that it has the table and everything set up.
Okay.
And it'll only do it once. That's how we put all this
null. Initialize, then await, and then sync speakers, which we're going to do.
Yep.
And then finally, we're going to return await table.
So that's our actual SQL local table that we'll have the data
by.
In. Now you can look at this. We're essentially creating link queries. to order by whatever you want.
Snap.
And then we can say two enumerable async.
Kapow. Boom.
How sweet is that?
That's fantastic. And now we just gotta pull them, right?
Yep. Two lines of code. We want to go in and sync and push any changes we have locally. Client.syncContext.push async. If you were watching earlier, Adrian went through how to build this all up. It was pretty much amazing, which is cool.
Okay, and then await table.pull. Oh, so this is like if there's any changes, push them.
Yep.
If there's stuff that needs to be gotten, just get them now. Okay,
exactly.
So all.
Now, we're going to pass it some query IDs and a query. Essentially, you could use this on your back end to do specific things.
Uh-huh.
Right now, we're just doing the default, and it doesn't really matter what you name it.
So let's see. So I'm just typing code and not understanding. So the client sync context is having to do with the data. I don't understand what the sync context is. Maybe I just say that.
So the sync context is something built into Azure Mobile Apps SDK.
Oh, it's a mobile services
thing. It's a mobile service thing that essentially figures out data resolution when you're pushing and pulling data.
Okay.
And you can specify a resolution handler. So by default, it'll be like last one in, essentially.
Got it.
Does it, but you can override it. So it says, hey, any of my tables, any of my data, let me push any changes up, and it manages that for you.
And then the table is just a mobile services. Okay.
It's a SQL table.
So it's a mobile services thing that we're doing. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so think of it as like a normal SQL table, but with a little bit more.
Got it. And now we probably have to use this instead of what we were doing before, right?
Exactly.
And where does that go?
Into our view model.
Okay, so that would be the view model, of course. And that would be the get speakers, right?
Yeah, so now we can delete all of our HTTP client, all of our JSON stuff, everything, all that hard work that we did.
Yes.
Delete that. We can delete our using.
Of course.
We don't need that anymore.
We don't need that anymore.
Like that. Okay. Boom. Now, what we can do is we need two lines of code. So instead of spinning up a brand new Azure service, we're going to use our built-in dependency service built right into Xamarin Forms to actually pull our Azure service. Dot get.
So what is a dependency service?
Yeah, so and you're just going to, it's going to be the of type Azure service.
Oh, I see.
A dependency service allows you to essentially often get down into the native code. So you'll implement an interface called I need to write file to disk. That'd be a very long name. But, or any class, it allows you to essentially register that with the system. So it allows you to create this service anywhere, mock out that service, and then it returns it automatically. So I don't have to say new Azure service, it just automatically will spin one up. It's a dependency service.
Oh, it's like a DI thing.
It's a dependency injection, yeah.
Oh, okay. So Azure service, if it's already running, I mean, do you have to define like the scope of how long this thing lives, or what do you do?
Yeah, so if you go into the Azure service and you go up to the very top, boom, we have a assembly export that will actually register the dependency service of the class.
I see.
If it implements any interfaces, you could actually then say get for this interface and it would return it. Now, you can do it at an assembly level or you can manually do it and then do the scoping. So by default, it's a single scope, so it'll only ever create one version of the Azure service. And that's what's important.
Ever. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
So you're calling into it. You're going to call get items, and that's all the code. You just wrote just a few lines of code to actually do the synchronization.
Cross our fingers, and I think we are about done. The original artisanal original Xbox here. Sync speakers.
It's going to go off, and this is going to be the first time it goes off to Azure and does a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, crossing fingers. Now, we did put it on the free tier.
There we are. Hey-o. Hold on. Let's go over here and let's do the Droid one here. Mm-hmm. And let me go debug and start new instance. Hey-o.
Yep. Boom.
Now I'm hearing the sound
a
coming
clicky
out.
Click, yeah.
That's cool. Hey-o. Oh, and everything's just working, right? And then I'm not going to hit speak. Yeah. Because
notice that we also have some other monkeys in there as speakers. Little Henry, you see him?
Oh, so hey!
There's little Henry.
Oh, you put some extra things in the CSV file to show that it was different.
Different, yes.
So clever. Well, that's so awesome, dude. I think we did it.
Boom. Literally in 90 minutes, taking that. You can also run the finish folder, run the same thing. It'll be up, and boom.
But it was mostly bad jokes.
Mostly bad
jokes. Yeah, if you cut out all the bad jokes... like this was probably like 20 minutes worth.
So what did you think? How was your experience?
You know, it was good. The thing that I liked the most is that I was familiar with WPF.
Yep.
I was familiar with MEVM and that kind of thing. And so I feel like I could totally just move to this really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're giving us the stink eye right now. Look, she's pointing at the thing. I can see it's blinking red. I see. Oh, there's lots of questions. All right, let's go.
So can I distribute the app to the App Store through Mobile Center? So the question is around the Mobile Center that we showed earlier. Mm-hmm. So right now, that's more for distributions for beta testers. Like if you took this app, put it in Mobile Center, you would get an email. You can, of course, sign it. You can download that. And then there's other APIs that you can do. I think their future is to do that. But you could take this beautiful application we just wrote. You could put it on the Windows Store. I'm sure they'd let you. You could put it on Android. I don't know about Apple. They have a little bit more stringent policies. I don't know if the monkey application is enough for them. Look at this. I don't know. People, I don't know why.
Tom loves us. Tom, we're coming over this weekend.
Yeah, come when you come to Seattle or Redmond, we'll drink some coffee.
Yeah, we'll just have It'll a good time. Great. We'll talk about dad jokes.
Yeah, I hope people really enjoyed it. Enjoyed Dev Days Live. Mm-hmm. So people said, when will the design tab for editing XAML forms in Visual Studio exist? Let's see if we can jump back to your machine.
Okay.
Now you have the stable and in our alpha channels, we have better preview. So let's go into open, go to view.
View.
And then go to other windows.
Other windows.
And then Xamarin Forms Previewer.
Pow!
All right, now go ahead and put that somewhere. Like, you know, pin it somewhere.
Okay, so I'll just pin it right here on the side.
Now let's open up our our speakers page.
Speakers page on XAML. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then tap on it.
This?
Yep. If it works, maybe not. Should load it.
Maybe I remember I never got IntelliSense for this, so it might be something that I messed up.
It could be something strange.
So you're probably doing this at home, Tom, yep. And you're like, yeah, it's working for me.
Yeah, and it should show up inside of here, the previewer. The previewer is in preview, all right? So it should be there. It's a preview of the previewer.
Yeah, it's a preview.
And then in our beta and alpha channels, there are even more improved versions of it, so that may be some intricacies there.
Awesome.
Of it. Let's see what other people asked. Can the real-time design view work without connecting to a Mac? If you want to do any design work, if you need to use the Xamarin Forms Previewer for iOS, when you deploy to iOS, you need an iOS, you need a Mac.
Yeah, there's no way to not do that.
You can't. It's just an Apple thing. Mm-hmm. I wish we could. It's an Apple. It's a EULA thing, actually. It's not an actual limitation. Just the SDKs, the simulators, they all exist on a Mac, so you got to have a Mac. It doesn't have to be a very fancy rose gold MacBook.
But if you're going to be cool, I think it should be.
Big fan of the Mac rose gold. I only buy rose gold devices.
Got it.
But honestly, like this is a mobile processor, 8 gigs of RAM. You could buy a Mac Mini. You could use one of those services.
How much was this?
This one was about $1,200 or something. Oh. But a Mac Mini is about $500.
Oh.
Especially used ones, you can get one. Just make sure that it can run the latest versions of Mac OS, like Sierra. That's really important.
Okay.
Yep. That's it. And all I did was install Xamarin and Xcode, which is essentially the SDKs. That's it. On this Mac, and that's all I do. I do almost 90% of my development right here on my Surface Book.
Got it.
Yep. Okay, cool. That's it.
All right. Any other questions? I think that's it.
That's it. Crushed it.
All right, awesome. Dude. I'll let you take it out.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks, Seth. Thank you so much for doing this. Actual live building applications. If you guys have any questions at all, tweet at me. Get in contact. Email me, motz@microsoft.com. That is me. Hope you guys loved Xamarin Dev Days. Use hashtag Xamarin Dev Days. Tell all your friends, family, any developer you know all about it. Until next time, I'm James Montemagno. This is my man, Seth, in the beautiful, amazing shirt.
Yeah,
this
I'm wearing a James Montemagno inspired shirt.
I love it.
Thanks so much.
And thank all of you for hanging in there for the last 4 hours and building awesome apps together. Hope you love Xamarin. Until next time, I'm James Montemagno.
And I'm Seth Juarez. Oh, he just threw something at us. What are you doing? I love it.